what we thought, where we was going to go and how it was going to go, God changed our minds, church. I'll be honest, this ain't popular to a lot of people, but it's needful, church, the day and how we live in. It's time that we, as the church of the living God, get serious about some things pertaining how we walk in this life, how we present ourselves, what we do in our day-to-day life for our people, those that's lost in this little community, in this world, those that were around on the job sites. Church, it's time that we show some real faith. That ain't been mean, it ain't been harsh, but it's time that we get serious about this. Dean, like you mentioned back there, we've got people that's dying and going to hell. Why is that? How that they're doing that? Because they don't see faith in my life. How they don't see true faith. How, if you want to turn, we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves. The 20th chapter of the book of St. John, you just bear with us. There's a little bit of reading here. How we're going to read pretty much the whole chapter, but there's a few verses that God has laid on our heart in this about some people who was serious. One that was serious about it, and one that seemed like he wasn't concerned. Seemed like there was no reason for him to have a concern about him, except he's seen some signs. Now, I realize this is over here about Jesus being in the tomb. That is the day we represent. But I promise you this, church, those that have been born again to the uttermost, we don't just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. I get to rejoice in that thing every day that I live my life, because He abides within me. What He done for me over there that night, Brian Sands, was something Mom and Daddy couldn't do. I've got family members laying here in this graveyard and they couldn't do it. And if you go dig up those caskets, there'll be bones in them. But thanks be unto God, when they went over there to where my Savior was on that third and appointed morning, as Mary did, she seen something that absolutely took her away. How she seen the stone rolled away. That was a victory that took place then, church. That is still taking place today. And it should encourage us as the church to press on in this way. We're going to start there in the first verse of that 20th chapter. I desire your prayers, church. Like I said, I've been sick, plumb sick to my stomach all day. I thought I was going to puke on the way over here. Thought twice about turning around and saying that I got sick and couldn't come, but God had other plans. Just don't, and I don't want you to look up here and see me neither. I don't want you to sit there and back me. I want you to back the Word of God, because it's going to be here when I'm not. It's been here before I was ever thought of. Don't you back me as who I am. But you get under the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you let that find its lodging place. I don't have to have, and I'm not being mean, church, but I don't have to have somebody pat me on the back and say, "You're doing good," or "It's okay." That won't do you a hill of beans, church, if you're not under the Word of God. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. And young's listen, church, this is one of the verses that God has laid on our heart. Something that's overlooked so many times. How by me, I'll say that. I've looked at, read this time and time again, heard it preached, but never grasped what this says right here in this 8th verse. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And we're going to stop there for just a little bit. There's a few thoughts that God has given us in this. We've studied this. And church, I'll be honest, it ain't the most popular thing anymore, because it shows us where we're at a lot of times. And I'm not saying that like I'm something higher than you. God has had this on our heart for a few weeks now, and He's rolled us, and He's rolled us, and He's rolled us. There was two disciples that went over there to the sepulcher where Jesus Christ had laid. That was men that had seen Him, that had borne witness of the miracles that Jesus had performed. But yet there was only one of them that, as He went over there and He looked into where Jesus had lain, that He believed. Why is that? How did He believe? Why do you think it is? When they hadn't even seen that yet. The same reason that you and I, regardless if we've been raised in church our whole life, or whether we had never darkened the doors before, when Jesus stood there and stood before your tomb of sin and death, and He called you by name, the same as Mary, you turned yourself and had to reference Him for who He is, and that is Rabboni, the same Master. There is no confusing Him with the things of this world. There is no, maybe I got it, or maybe I didn't. When He come forth out of my life being nice over there, a little over 5 years ago, and called me out of that seat, there was no question who it was that was calling me. We heard there this morning about Him reaching out and touching the buyer. And we could read over there about Lazarus. There was a point in time in my life when He come forth and He said, Isaac, Woody, come forth. And there was a choice that had to be made. And thanks be unto God, I did not reject the very love that He had on me. And it's been the best thing I've ever done. As Mary had done, she was searching. She was weeping. She desired to know where Jesus was. She loved Him. We have record where she anointed His feet with her own tears and her hair. Our church, that's what our people, they're searching for where He is. They're looking at the natural things. They're desiring to see signs and these wonders that these people seen over in that day. But church, it was mentioned back in the prayer room, they'll see it by mining your faith in a true and a living Savior. Say, preacher, that's harsh. It's not harsh. It's not a have-to case. It's a want-to. Then when He saved me, I have desired to, since that moment, how to serve Him to the best of my ability, to be faithful to... thank you, God. Young fire with us, didn't know we was going to go this way. Got one verse I'm going to read over here. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. Church, there's some things we've been praying for. There's some objects we've been praying for. Well, have we been faithful to them? Have we been without wavering to those things? How, when God wakes you up in the wee hours of the morning, as we've heard one say, how do we sit in bed and say, well, Lord, I'm tired, I'm going to go back to sleep? Or do we have a true burden for our people? Or do we have enough faith about us
to believe that if we do lose that little bit of sleep, or maybe some of that food, how that we've been alone, how do we believe Him enough to know that He's going to be faithful to that He has promised us? Church, I've got objects I've prayed for since God saved me, and there's been a few I've seen answered, but there's some that's still lost and undone. But I'm holding to that a promise that He gave me, that He would answer it and that He would save them because He loved them. The same as He did me. The same as He did you. The same as He does each and every one that's in here. It was mentioned, I believe, Dean. Dean, I know me. You mentioned that. I better than anybody else in here knows me. I know what I deserved that day. I know that I did not, Brian Sims, deserve a Savior to go in my stead. They should have been judgment cast my way. But there was some people that loved Him enough and loved me enough that they was willing to stay faithful to God on my behalf. That as the church of the living God, that they would weep for me as I was dead and gotten. Thank you, God. Community Chapel, you'll remember this. Last Sunday about Lazarus. There was two sisters over there. One went to him sneakily and in herself without a care in the world. She just wanted to see if God would do those things. She was in it carnally minded. And she said, Lord, if have thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And He told her that He would be, and this is paraphrasing. You can read it in the 11th chapter of John. But it's paraphrasing. He told her that it would be, that He would do this, that He wasn't dead, that He was sleeping, and that it would be to the glory of God. All this taking place. Well, Martha went secretly to her sister and said, the Master hath called for you. And it said that she arose hastily, and when she went there, I said that she knelt His feet. She was faithful to Him, church. She went there believing that He was going to answer that she was taken before Him. How many times, church, do I fully take my objects and my burdens before an Almighty God faithfully? I believe in that He's going to answer those things. How many times during the battles that we face in this life and the trials, am I faithful that there will be victory? Do I truly believe? They knew over there, church, they had been around Him in the flesh, but only one of them, when he stooped down and went in there, believed what he saw. And Simon was a man that loved God. He over in that next chapter, I believe it is, he asked him, Jesus asked him, said, Peter of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest. And he said, feed my lambs. And then he came to him a second time and said, Peter, Simon Peter of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, yea, thou knowest. And he said, feed my sheep. And he came to him a third time, and Simon began to get aggravated in himself, because he had asked him three times and said, Lord, thou knowest. But the third question, he said, Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do I love Him, a church, tonight more than I love this that you're looking at? Do I love Him enough that I'm willing to be faithful on the behalf of your people? I maybe carry a burden just a little bit. I maybe stand without at times and weep, desiring to see Him in the times it seems that He's nowhere near. I promise you this, He is. He teaches us that He'd not leave us nor forsake us, that He wouldn't leave us comfortless. Dean, He's been faithful to me in my life. He was faithful to me as a lost man when I was out in all the garbage I was. He was faithful because He loved me. Why do you think He wasn't there in that tomb when Mary went? Well, sure, it was the appointed morning. Why did He give His life? Because He loved us. Why did He take His life back up? Because He loved us, church. It was love that took Him there and delivered Him, because He knew we had no hope except He done it. But when in saying that, how, and I'm just being honest, church, this was a question that God truly asked me. And it's something really for us to think about. We say that we believe that Jesus was crucified, that He died, that He rose again. Oh, but do we believe it? Are we faithful of that without wavering? If there's every little bit of movement there, Tommy Dorsey, oh, then my faith is not real. And that's just being honest, church. It's not being harsh. But if I'm rooted and grounded, we read about this morning as we was trying to study. If I'm rooted and grounded, there's no moving me in it. Oh, if I'm out around those lost loved ones, or those lost co-workers, or even at the grocery store and the strangers, am I movable or am I steadfast? Unmovable, without wavering. I believe in that Jesus is truly faithful of that He promised. Why did He come? To seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what happened when He saved us? Then He put His love in us, didn't He? If I love Him, it's not a chore, Dan, for you to love your wife. It's not something that you have to go home and just muster up the strength to do. It's something that comes naturally because you love her. How God joined us together almost 30 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not a chore for you to go home and love your family. It should be the same way with God. How because He saved us, because He saved me, then I should be faithful to Him for what He done for me. To see the salvation of those that is unprepared. Prepared, and to be faithful to a burden, knowing that if they go to the grave, naturally or spiritually, they'll not find my Jesus there. And the Wayne King, He's alive, and He's a ruling and reigning, and He's still got all power. I'm not able to save not one soul. And it was mentioned before church. I hope after God's done, I hope He stands some other men. I miss those services, Dane, when we quit worrying about what was going to happen after church and we just came worshiping a living God. That's what will make a service, church. That's when we will truly be blessed and worship Him, is when we forget about what's going on after and we're more concerned about serving God. He's worthy of it, church. That has been faithful to Him that is faithful that promised. I'm not able to save a single soul. I'm not able, church, to do nothing in myself but through God. What His darling Son did over there, then I couldn't do it. It was mentioned about the children. I could not. We was talking there before church about my little boy. As much as I love Youngs, church, and I know Youngs, I couldn't give him for y'all's sake. I couldn't give him then for some stranger. But then you get to looking at what he done. If that's not him being faithful, a church at any moment, he could have called it all off. And they would have been 12 legions of angels, I believe the Bible says. That would have took him off. That would have took him into heaven. But he was faithful to us because he knew that we had no hope without him. There's a picture by Carol on that wall, and I'm not lifting a man up, of my great-grandfather, Ray Woody. A lot of people in here know him. I barely remember maybe just a little bit of my great-papa. But the things that he done, that's not what's getting me there, Dean. Because of what my papa done, that's not what's going to get me there. Her mama or daddy. But you know what is? What Jesus done. What He allowed me to see when He come to my grave. Brian Sams, as legion I was. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And we heard it this morning. But when He come by my way, how those men that was carrying, they had to stand still. How the same as Lazarus, when He called him out, he had to come forth. And even Legion met him because he realized who he was. That's how our people have to see him in our lives, church. Mary stood without and wept. She was in travail. She desired to see him. And when she did see him, she didn't even know who he was. Mm-hmm. She thought he was a gardener. But But when he spoke her name, there was no question in it. It is that personal, church. I thank God for it. I'd be concerned, Brian, if I was getting by on Mom and Daddy's salvation or Granny and Grandpa's. But church, he loved us enough, he made it personal. Then he come to you over in Robinson Cove. But I've got to hear your testimony. How that 12-year-old little boy, how just the same as he came over to me at Pinnacle View, how that 18-year-old boy and all the mess I was in. And you want to know what the thing happened? Oh, you may not have done the things I done, I may not have you. How but they was there's one thing we hold in common. How they was a Savior who called us out by name. And thanks be unto God, I answer to it in faith believing. That's what they have to see in my life. It's easy, church, to be faithful here. But it was mentioned, I can't remember, and you'll forgive me, who it was said it. My job is out there. When I'm around those boys I work with, at the grocery store, wherever I'm at, that's where they need to be seeing my faith. These disciples followed him. They seen what God was able to do. But yet in this exact moment, and according to this, that disciple that was over there was John. When he walked in and he seen, he believed. Church, it's got to be real. I can say that from experience because I've spent too much of my time, too much of my life, trying to have some phony faith. Trying to have some make-believe faith in my head. And there is, church, a lot of people who believe him up here. But that's as far as it goes. They have that form of godliness, but they're denying the power there. They have not truly believed. Well, how, preacher, how can we show it to them? By living it in our lives. Is it that important? Yes, it is. You can read on down in that 20th chapter over there where Jesus breathed and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," to the disciples. There was one, though, that was not there. That's the one that we was talking about. Now, mind you, this is a disciple as well. And you'll bear with us just a little bit as we read just a little bit more. 24th verse. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And church, that's where we are. Then I've never seen him with my natural eyes. But there is no steering me away from knowing that he is real because of what he done in my life, Brian Sams. It's something Mom and Daddy couldn't do. Hey, it didn't matter if they'd lived a perfect life. They was not able to. But when he came by me and said, "Isaac," he called me by name. There was no mistaking. I knew it wasn't Mama. I knew it wasn't Daddy. But I knew that it was God Almighty, his blessed Son Jesus, and he established me on things that I have not seen him, but I know one of these days that you mentioned me, and this, thank you God. I know I mention a lot of what people mention, but church, that's what God has laid on my heart. I thank God for it. One of these days, Dean, I'm glad I ain't got a brick mansion over there. I'm glad I ain't got the nicest smart board and mansion over there. You know what I'm going to have? You mention it. One of the first things God ever showed me when he saved my soul was that very thing that you mentioned. That mansion ain't natural. I'm going to have a body, Dean, that I'll be able to worship him in all of his fullness. That my body will not wear out. That I will get to see him. But until then, church, I'm going on faith, believing and holding to the promises that he has given us. To look and see that creek right there. That's where Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, where I used to be a member. When I made a profession at 5 years old, took me to that very creek at that very spot, and they baptized me. But it wasn't real. And numerous times after, they done the same thing, and it wasn't real. And then when God did save me, it was still early or late in the winter and too cold for us to go. And I would have, I promise you. I'd have busted ice off the riverbanks. I was that excited. Not that that is what saved me, but I wanted to show this entire world what God had done in my life. But then you take a couple years later, and in June 2021, Dean Rice over at Community Chapel, God joined us up there. And I'm not saying that to lift him up. I love him, no doubt. But nevertheless, I got baptized. And that had been a couple years after, but I was still just as excited, Dean. I still wanted to show this whole world just what God done for me. And I promise you this, I hope to see a buyer line going from the road down to that creek that never ends. But in order to do so, I have to be faithful. We heard it, we've seen some things. God has blessed us. Not just Community Chapel, not just Jones Valley, not just Piney Grove, but the church as a whole, the church of the living God, have been blessed the last little while. We've got to see some souls saved. Why? This goes right along with what we heard this morning. Her mother was in travail, Dean. That was her only son. And when Jesus came by, he had compassion. You know what he done when he came to each and every one of us? He had compassion. That's what he done in my life. What did the father do to the prodigal son? We have record after record after record, church. This should be an encouragement to us. This ain't harsh. This should make us want to go harder than we've ever wanted to. Because we are running out of time, church. I honestly don't believe it's going to be much longer. I don't know for certain. But with the things that's going on, I don't know how it could. Nevertheless, the time we've got, God is able. Let's be faithful. I'm looking for some more.
Amen.
God's answered some prayer for you, Dean. Last week he has me too.
Yeah.
Church, I've been struggling for the last little while. Satan's been fighting me hard. I ain't gonna lie to you, he's tried, and I'm not being mean, I'm not telling my business. But the first place he tries to attack is my marriage. He's tried his best to bust me and my wife up. And it seems like the more he does, look at what happened this morning. God brought us closer together. It ain't many times, church, that as we go down to pray, I have my little wife come wrap around me. That's an encouragement to me, Dean. Hey, it helps me because I know that she's there with me. But more so than what she can be, we have a God Almighty in heaven who loves us enough that he's with us even when my wife can't be, even when mom and dad, even when my pastor cannot be. Oh, my God is still there, church. Oh, even when I can't be faithful to you, he is.
Amen.
That's why we said, don't you uplift me, but stand behind the Word of God. It don't matter who I am, church. We sung that song. I'd just assume everybody this morning, I'd assume everybody in here not know who I am. And just have God know who I am. Because I mean nothing. But His Word, church, His Spirit, that's what'll help us.
Yeah.
Mother, you mentioned that's food. Food that this, the stuff that this world has to offer, can't feel what God can. When I'm in a low place and it seems like there's no hope, this world has nothing to offer me. But this right here, that sustenance, that is help to me. That's strength and encouragement to me. Because that's deeper than me. I hope and pray, church, this is making sense to you. When you go, church, and you face the things that you face in this life, and there will be times, Sandy, I thank you a million for singing that song. You're going to face things. He's going to fight you. He's going to take you to a tomb and say, where is he? You just let him remember what he done. I'm glad I've got a place I can take him to. Because he's going to fight. But stay faithful to him, church. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And he won't leave you by yourself. We have victory in this man named Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have victory in me, church. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to come up short. But when you follow this man named Jesus, he's able. Sure, I can help you by being faithful to him and encouraging youngs as youngs do me. The prayers, church, means more than you'll ever know. As mine do to youngs. It's a help to us, an encouragement. But even when I'm not able, he is. Church, don't you think nothing good of me. There's nothing but one thing good about me, and that's Jesus. Because he's able. Church, I love you. I don't know if it's been short, if it's been long, it don't matter. Like I said, I pray to God that some of these other men stand up, God anoint you. Church, I'm ready for those kind of services. They work. When we quit worrying about what the time is and we start worrying about God, we'll start seeing those objects come in. Because in those moments, we're being faithful to him. Church, I love you. Brother, you come on.